Welcome to Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky, a podcast that is not just information, but impartation and activation. This podcast offers supernatural conversations that will encourage and equip you to live the Spirit-empowered life. Fireborn Ministries exists to see Jesus awaken this generation to the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen in to this powerful and encouraging conversation and share this episode of Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky.
Hey guys, welcome to another adventure in the Holy Spirit. I'm laughing right now because I do change my clothes. Okay, if you saw the opening there, you saw me wearing the same Nike coat. I mean, I've got a bunch of other coats and hoodies and stuff, but I just got to laugh at myself. So I do change. I do take showers. I'm just a little unshaven today, but I'm looking forward to some prophetic webinars starting tonight and all that. As my son and I are preparing to go to Pakistan in May, follow up on the two Bible colleges we currently have. We've tried to open up a third and a fourth branch near the border of Afghanistan, but they're currently under threat. So please pray for that ministry. If we open the next two branches, we'll have 415 students who are the poorest of the poor, brick kiln factory workers. So appreciate your prayers, your financial gifts. You know, we're going here in the next month and then also the tail end of this year to give people certificates. So we're excited for what the Holy Spirit is doing in us and through us for His glory. I have a free PDF available for you guys called Simple Kingdom Economics. And that was inspired from a recent podcast episode that I hope that you've all listened to, Simple Kingdom Finance, about a biblical and spiritual concept to money. I know that that's not a typical thing that we do here with Fireborn Ministries, but I was inspired and challenged because we all could use some biblical wisdom and insight on kingdom finance. So that PDF is available in the podcast description. But guys, I'm excited for today's very special guest. It's a small world. So if you've been listening to the episodes with Ron Jolson or my friends, the Bixby's, small world, I was acquainted, you know, to Dr. Mark Gurley through Randy Bixby. And when I was interviewing Ron Jolson, if you listen to that episode, he mentioned Dr. Mark. And I was like, wow, Jesus is up to something. So I'm excited to be talking to Dr. Mark today about his book, which is an amazing book, Healing, Deliverance, and Miracles, powerful book on how you can operate in healing, deliverance, miracles, signs, and wonders for the glory of Jesus. So Dr. Mark has been, for the last 35 years or over 35 years, he's been a financial advisor and a business owner while simultaneously being in the ministry. Mark has a passion to see the sick and injured healed. He's a frequent speaker on the subject and has trained thousands to heal the sick as Jesus did. So I want to encourage you to get the principles of healing, deliverance, and miracles on this episode as we talk to Dr. Mark. Welcome, Dr. Mark.
Hey, thank you, Jared, for having me.
Well, it's an honor and it's a pleasure, brother. Small world, isn't it? But God is using you in signs and wonders. I know a lot of my fans, if you will, or followers are in the business world. So I'd love to get them to get acquainted with you of how you were able to be in the business world and still are, but also do ministry simultaneously.
Well, if you look at the scriptures, there's really not a delineation between clergy and laity, right? I mean, you can't find it. So we're all supposed to do the stuff that Jesus did. And why are we supposed to do it? So Jesus gets what he paid for. And so in my 35 plus year career as a financial advisor, I have done ministry simultaneously. Now, sometimes that ministry is literally praying with clients. But I have run ministries with as many as 100 to 150 volunteers in them while also trying to run my business. Sometimes it was a little difficult. I'm not going to lie, but it's always rewarding because if you're doing what Jesus called you to do, then you're making an impact on people's lives. And nothing makes an impact on a person's life like leading them to Christ or healing them of an illness or delivering a prophetic word to catch their spirit, their soul, and pull them forward into what God's called them to do.
Amen. Love that. Well, you share some stories in your book. You actually helped pioneer, or you did pioneer, the Grand Rapids Healing Rooms. I've actually interviewed people who've been participants of healing rooms or led to healing rooms. So you're able to work, but also lead this ministry. Can you share some of the things that God did in that time?
Yeah. So in 2002, my wife and I and our attorneys set up the Healing Rooms of Grand Rapids. And at that point, the International Association of Healing Rooms, based out of Spokane, had just gotten going again. And I think we were like the 60th healing room to be set up. Now there's 2,500 or more all over the world. They're everywhere. And as we were training people to be on healing teams, we then had people on the team saying, hey, you know, I kind of feel like I should do this in my hometown or whatever. And so we helped plan them all over the state of Michigan as a result. But I did that simultaneously with my career. And I cut my hours back in what I did as a financial planner and selling life insurance and things like that to 25 hours a week for 7 years. So I was working part-time, trusting God for a full-time income while trying to administer the healing rooms along with anywhere from 100 to 150 volunteers. And we just love putting a Catholic person and a Pentecostal person and a Christian Reformed person on the same healing team. We said, focus on Jesus, what Jesus did, and all the other things you can just kind of let sit aside. And it had a huge impact. And we were invited to speak in churches as a result. And so I've been able to preach and teach on healing in all kinds of denominational settings because we focus on Jesus and what he did. It's kind of simple, but you know what? Jesus didn't make the gospel complicated. That's what we did.
Yeah.
So we saw crazy things. And probably one of the things, and I write about it in a book, one of the chapters is Healing in the Atonement, and it deals with communion. And when we got revelation, and this was early on in our healing room days, that the blood and the body of Christ were two separate and distinct but equally important parts of the atonement. And so all of my life growing up as a believer, you know, I got saved when I was five, come from a long family line of pastors and Christians dating all the way back to the Mayflower. We found that you would take the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'd have to remember anything you did wrong. And, you know, if you had anything against anybody, go deal with that. But that was it. There was nothing about the properly discerning the Lord's body. And if you weren't, you would grow sick, weak, and maybe sleep, which is a fancy way of saying you were dead. And so once we began to realize that healing was in the atonement, that Jesus paid the price, so his broken body was for our healing and the shed blood was for our forgiveness of sins. And then you go back to Psalm 103, verse 3, that says he forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. So I do a little bit of a word study. And I probably beat this one over the head a few times in my book because I want to make the point. But that word all in Hebrew best translates to English as all. So why is it we believe that he forgives all of our sin? And then when it comes to healing, well, Jared, because he's got a podcast, he's going to get healing. But the rest of us, I don't know, we're just going to hope like it's a lottery, God, and maybe we bought the right ticket and it's going to work, which is just complete nonsense. And then the next part of that is I asked the Holy Spirit one day in the healing room, it's like, why are we seeing 10 to 15% of the folks having some improvement or being healed, you know, maybe miraculously, and the rest not? And Jesus batted 1,000%. And I said, why is that? And he says, well, you're asking for something that Jesus already did, which totally floored me. I said, what do you mean by that? He says, you guys are praying and asking God, asking me to do healing. Jesus already did it 2,000 years ago. Start declaring it.
That's right.
Throughout the book, I talk about don't pray for healing. What do you mean don't pray? Well, we're supposed to pray. Jesus, he went up to the mountaintop and sat there with the Lord and prayed so he could see what the Father was doing. But then when he was ministering to people, you don't hear any of the gospel accounts saying he was praying when people were being healed. He just like spit in their eye or get up or hear or see or whatever. They were just boom, 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 one after another being healed. And so once we started declaring the finished work of Christ and calling the healing forth and removing a demonic presence, removing the illness in the name of Jesus, we went from 10 to 15% to 80 to 85% of the results. And people would be able to say, gee, I feel a whole lot better already, but not 100%. To which we would respond, if Jesus has healed you 50% in the last 3.5 minutes, do you think he could do the rest? And they're like, well, yeah. So, well, then let's just keep believing in that direction. And it's, as I emphasize when I teach every Sunday night on healing, we have to believe, it's past tense, that it's already happened. And then we begin to experience that reality. And it's no different with any of the spiritual gifts. If we're hoping it's going to work, that's completely different than having a complete belief that it's already done.
Do you want the power of God to be evident in your life? Do you need to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Are you curious about the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues? And do you want it in your life? My wife and I have a free e-course available for you called The Baptism with the Holy Spirit, where you will learn the biblical truth and spiritual reality of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And you'll hear true stories of how people received the promised gift. The videos in this e-course will expand your knowledge and understanding of the Holy Spirit baptism. You'll be drawn closer in relationship with the Holy Spirit and receive prayer and activation into the baptism with the Holy Spirit. You can also go through it with a small group of friends, a church class, or a discipleship group. You could download the accompanying PDF for each lesson and apply the principles to your life and take the action steps. Your faith will grow as you read the scriptures, watch the videos, and participate in the activation. The gift is for you. The gift is for today. The gift is to empower your spiritual life. We know that you will finish this course with the divine empowerment that comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So start your journey today. Go to charismacourses.com/collections and click on Jared Lasky and enroll in the Baptism of the Holy Spirit e-course.
Amen. Well, in your book, you mentioned something very interesting, unique. I've heard it before, but grabbing like DNA, accessing, activate, I don't know, believing by faith, and then bringing it from heaven to earth. And you share some testimonies about that. So I'd love to have you expand on that for okay. my listeners.
So maybe it's because I'm a business guy and I'm in sales. I think, okay, how can I get from point A to point B and make it as simple as possible so that we can do this? So working in miracles is a spiritual gift. Heaven exists. God's got more spare parts in heaven than we have originals.
Yeah.
So you don't have to die to go to heaven. The Lord's Prayer is, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name on earth as it is in heaven. So our goal is to bring heaven to earth. Everybody's trying to like rapture themselves out of here and get to heaven when we have the accessibility of bringing heaven right here to earth. Well, why wouldn't we not want to do that? So when I came across issues that we weren't getting progress with, I was like, well, wait a minute. Is there sickness in heaven? No. Is there disease in heaven? No. Are there damaged body parts in heaven? No, because we know from the scriptures, when we die, we go to heaven, we get a brand new everything, right? You know, new body, new, you know, everything's new. There's no more crying, no shadows. So I just came up with this idea that, well, if heaven has the body part that we need here, why not just reach into heaven by faith and grab that part and then stick it into the person?
Yeah.
So I discovered with bipolar, for example, bipolar has the X chromosome, has the 27th lower right-hand side of that chromosome has a defect. Now, how did I learn that? Well, I was wondering what to do with people who were coming in with bipolar. So I got, you know, you Google what's bipolar, how does it work? And you start realizing that, oh, this is what the medical community says. There's this defect. And so rather than saying, okay, we treat this defect with drugs, what if we treated the defect by fixing it? And so I looked at that defect in the chromosomal DNA of somebody dealing with bipolar as having some sort of a demonic influence in their family line that weaved into their DNA. If you go way back into the Bible times where you had the Nephilim and some of the other stuff mixing with the humans, you see, clearly we can have our DNA altered by other stuff. So I would then, it was a 10-second prayer. I would say, in the name of Jesus, I reach in and I grab the damaged part of your X chromosome and I remove it and I reach into heaven and grab a brand new 27th lower right-hand side of the X chromosome and I stick it into you in Jesus' name, amen. And then the person who had come into the healing rooms or come up for prayer and mentioned they're bipolar, I would say, do you feel any different? To which they'd be like, no. I said, well, it's by faith, no different than me reaching into heaven by faith to get the part. So I said, here's your homework assignment. I want you to visit your doctor, because I never advise people to go cold turkey on meds, because there's a lot of side effects with the drugs we take these days. I said, go to your doctor and tell them that you're feeling better and more stable, and you'd like to have the lithium doses or whatever diminished and reduced over time. Well, most doctors are thrilled to hear that you're feeling better and stable. Well, is the person feeling better or stable? Well, they're prophesying and declaring that to the doctor. I am feeling more stable and better. I'd like to reduce. So they're actually exercising their faith to take that step to speak out what I told them to share with their doctor. So in Kathy's testimony in the book, she did that, and the doctor started reducing her meds. And after a matter of a few weeks, she was completely med-free. Not only did she no longer have panic attacks and depression and things like that, but there was no evidence of her being bipolar. And she'd been part of a mental institution where she was an inpatient and outpatient. She's on Social Security disability. She was so radically transformed with that and other things we prayed for that you'll see in the book, that the psychiatrist from the hospital called the healing rooms. And I happened to be standing by the desk. And so I picked up the phone and said, hello, this is Mark, Healing Rooms of Grand Rapids. And she said, hey, this is Dr. So-and-so. And Kathy so-and-so came in for prayer. I said, oh yeah, I happen to be one of the people on the team that prayed for her. She said, well, what did you do? I said, well, we just followed biblical principles and brought the healing forth that Jesus has already paid for. And the psychiatrist said, well, I'm a Christian and I've never seen anything like that. And I said, it's pretty simple if we just focus on what Jesus said we can do and then do what he said, because it's already paid for. She said, do you have some brochures? I said, yep. She says, mail them in. So I mailed them. And then we started getting, you know, it's kind of like a bowl of cereal. All the nuts and flakes started coming in from her practice and from the hospital. And many of them were bipolar and other things. And all of them got free from bipolar, every single one of them, using the same 10-second working a miracle prayer. And that's why I talk about in a book. There's healing, there's deliverance, and there's working of miracles. The end result is we're made whole. But Jesus approached things differently based on the circumstances. So if we knew what we were dealing with, would we pray differently? Hmm. Would we declare differently, prophesy differently? Well, the answer is yes, we would. And so the purpose of this book is people asked me to write it for years. And when I got my doctorate, the whole school Primus University of Theology said, we've heard teaching on healing for years, but we've never heard anybody package it, bring out those three different avenues. So my master's of divinity was in healing and prayer. And they said, you need to put this into book form. And I ignored it. I mean, like we usually do it. People ask us to do that sort of thing. And then the Lord started laying it on my heart and other people started saying something. And so I wrote the book, and it's only been out for 6 weeks. It's been selling pretty well. And the responses have been really good. I mean, Jared, like you said, you've been reading it and there's a lot of good information in there. And I'd like to say I could take credit for that, but I'm just the first guy to hear it. And then I just spit back out what the Lord said.
Right. Well, what would you say to people? Because a lot of people have faith for, say, a sprained ankle, but then someone has cancer or something big, quote unquote, something big. What is your take on that? Are there things bigger? Like it takes a little more, I guess, quote unquote, work to pray it through or pray it out. You know, what is your opinion on that? I know what your book says.
Yeah. So let's just turn that around. Is some sin bigger than other sin in God's eyes?
No.
But in our eyes, murder is a bigger sin than a white lie or stealing a pack of gum, but it all stinks before heaven. So we, in our own mindsets, define big. And if we start looking at God as our big, whoo, man, look at God, he's so big, then all this other stuff really becomes small in comparison. So the biggest thing is being bold and pushing through. And quite frankly, faith is like that. Yeah. In fact, my spiritual mother, back when I was in my 20s and early 30s, I remember having a conversation with her. I said, Mom, I said, do you think that I'm humble? And she said, yes. And I said, well, do you think most people think I'm humble? She said, no. And I said, that's how I feel. Why is that? She said, because they don't understand a definition of humility. I said, well, what's the definition of humility? And I'll never forget what she said. She said, humility is the ability to receive what you've not worked for, earned, or deserve. So if you're coming before God boldly and you're looking at any ailment, whether it's cancer stage four or whether you've got a hangnail, and you're looking at that with, I have no ability in and of myself, but I am humble before God and I'm willing to receive what I've not worked for, earned, or deserve so that this person can get what belongs to them so that Jesus gets what he paid for, then you're approaching it and you're removing you out of the situation and you're just declaring that which God has already promised.
Yeah. Amen. I love it. Thank you for sharing that. And you also talk about formulas, how some people tend to get stuck on methods or formulas. You and I have a very similar take. And I loved how you worded that. So can you share, you know, because I've seen people like it has to be the countdown, you know, on the scale from 1 to 10, that's a great method, but there's thousands of different things that people could do. And in healing and miracles, you need to do something and you have to activate your faith. But what do you think about people just holding on to one or two methods or formulas, thinking like this is the only way that this can happen?
Formulas are rooted in the religious spirit, which is a cousin of the political spirit, and maybe even a cousin of this fear of man. And so we start looking and saying, okay, why do we do the things we do? So I filmed a baptism I did in the Jordan River with 40 people. And I put a GoPro on my forehead, so it was a first person view. It's had like 340,000 views on YouTube. And I had put it in a private group. I mean, it's public for anybody to see, but I put it in a private group, a Facebook group of everybody that was there so they could go watch their own baptism. But somehow people must have Googled baptism and looked it up.
Wow.
The majority of the comments are, you are baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and it has to be in the name of Jesus, you know, or you can't baptize this way. You got to baptize that way. Most of the comments are about the methodology in which I was baptizing not being their methodology. Therefore, I was wrong. They were right. Mm. Complete nonsense. We do the same thing with healing, with prayer. Thus saith the Lord when we're prophesying. That occurred like once or twice in the Old Testament, once in the New Testament. I mean, just knock it off with trying to sound like you're super spiritual with stuff and you'll be a lot better off. So formulas, a formula is simply this. You have prayed with somebody, you've declared healing for them and it was instantaneous miracle. So you file that away in your little brain file cabinet and go, that worked. I'm going to do that again because it works so well. What if God doesn't want to do it that way again? You know, he is a creator, so he likes to do things creatively, and he wants you to be creative like him. So the next time you go and you try to do the same methodology you used the last time, and it didn't work. And now you're like, oh, my formula's not working. It's just so much easier. I have kind of a one-step approach. Holy Spirit, what do you have to say about this? Or Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Holy Spirit, what are you showing me? And then I get a little bit of revelation and they're like, help me understand that. You know, I'm kind of dull. You know, like, help me get it. And follow that methodology of listening to Holy Spirit. And once you're listening to him, you'll discover that God doesn't do a lot of things in formulas. Now, the scriptures do say they shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So laying hands on the sick person is certainly called for. And I've seen people anoint people with oil. I remember in a church when I was in my 20s, we got to the point where we were anointing everybody with oil. And somehow, like if we didn't anoint them with oil, maybe it wasn't going to work. So you don't want to get so rote and methodical, but there are things in the scriptures about anointing people with oil and laying on a hand. So that's a good place to start, but don't make that your platform. Make the finished work of Jesus Christ your platform. And with the finished work of Christ, then you will see the results that Jesus saw.
Amen. I love that. Dr. Mark, can you pray for people? Actually, I'm kind of feeling like we should have you ask you to pray for people to be set free, like right where they are. They need healing. They need a deliverance. They've identified there's something demonic behind their ailment. So I believe by faith that people watching this or listening into this anytime, because this is like evergreen content, they could download it anytime,
yep,
that they will be set free through this prayer.
Yes. Well, let me give just a mini teaching before we do the deliverance so that you understand what's going on. People say, well, Christians can't have demons, but demons can have Christians. That's what oppression of the devil is. So any degree of oppression in your life is most likely linked to the demonic. Now, let's put it in terms of a physical ailment. And I like to use sports injuries as an example because I'm an avid downhill skier. I've been to 85 ski resorts around the world. I love skiing. I played soccer in high school and college, and I've had my share of injuries. And I know many other people have had sports injuries. So here's what happens with a sports injury, for example. Let's pick a rotator cuff. The doctor, maybe you have surgery, maybe not, but it just takes some time. And I had a ski injury once where I hit another skier. I was going about 45 miles an hour. He was bigger than I was, and it launched me airborne. And I came down on my hand and jammed my shoulder clean up into my ear. And I couldn't lift my arm and had literally like torn every muscle around my shoulder. I mean, so much so that over the next few days, bruising went all the way down to my elbow and down the inside of my rib cage, purple. I mean, it was nasty looking. Couldn't put my hand over my head for 3 or 4 weeks. So that's a healing issue. So I'm in the shower one day, shampooing with one hand because I couldn't lift the other one up. I'm like, Holy Spirit, I know you're the healer. You know, Jesus already done this. So I know that this is going to be something that is good. I want to make sure that I get a 100% healing. And he just said, it's finished. So did I have 100% healing in that shower that moment? No. It was 2 years before I could throw a baseball with no pain, injury, or whatever. But I have no issues with my shoulder whatsoever. Not one. The difference is I didn't give up. Most people with injuries, car accidents, sports injuries, whatever, they get to the point where it's not 100%, but it's pretty good. You know, 80, 90% is better than the pain I was in. And we stop there. What ends up happening is a spirit of infirmity gets attracted to this unhealed wound, no different than a fly to an unhealed wound on the back of a cow out in a farm field. And so you can have a wicked spirit that will stay in your ongoing injury. Same thing with family line stuff. Maybe you've had a family line of alcoholism. Maybe there's been a family line of cancer. It seems like everybody dies of cancer or alcoholism or whatever. There's a demonic root that's gotten attached there somehow. So when I pray for this deliverance, we want to have you agree with me. Because you've been agreeing with the other. You've been agreeing with 80% healed is better than you know where it was. Or it's just in my family line. You've been agreeing with it's just in my family line. Let's agree with the truth. And so I often pray repeat after me prayers. I pray, then I have you pray. So I'll pray, I'll pause so that you can kind of say the same thing in the comfort of your own home or car or wherever you're listening to this podcast. And then you will begin to notice a shift. Then the other thing that is important is symptoms. You may feel the same symptom, whether it's lack of mobility, maybe it's pain, maybe it's you know, the oppression, kind of linger and come back. It is a lying spirit trying to convince you that you have not been 100% delivered so that you agree with the lying spirit. Oh, maybe I wasn't healed all the way. And once we do that, we're right back to where we were because we're not agreeing with Holy Spirit. We're agreeing with a lying spirit. So I just give that as a background so that when we're praying together and you're repeating after me, you understand your assignment and your agreement, because agreement is so important. So many Christians talk about being accountable. Accountability, we need to be accountable. Show me accountability in the Bible. The closest thing I can find is confess your sins one to another. That's just so that you have somebody else to come alongside you and kind of help you through. But everything else is about agreement. Where two or three are accountable on anything, God will do it. No, that's not the scripture. Where two or three agree on anything, he will do it. It's done. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I come before you.
I come before you.
Recognizing.
Recognizing
that I have agreed with the demonic realm.
That I've agreed with the demonic realm.
I have let the spirit of infirmity stay with me.
I've let the spirit of infirmity stay with me.
I've let family line spirit stay with me.
I've let family spirits stay with me.
I now repent for agreeing with them.
I now repent for agreeing with them.
I renounce all the bad fruit.
I renounce all the bad fruit
that those suckers have sent into my life.
That those suckers have sent into my life.
And I command them to leave my presence.
I command them to leave my presence.
Take their bad fruit.
Take their bad fruit.
And go to the cross of Jesus Christ.
And go to the cross of Jesus Christ.
By faith.
By faith.
I receive in their place.
I receive in their place.
The full provision.
The full provision.
Of healing and freedom.
Of healing and freedom.
That Christ has paid for.
That Christ has paid for.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And now, each of those different little ailments that you can be thinking of, be very specific with them. Speak to them. I always tell people, you know, God gave Jesus dominion, and it says even in the beginning, in the first chapter of Genesis, how he gave Adam dominion over the whole earth. Well, guess what? These are dirt bodies, because when we die, they all go back to ash. So you have dominion over your dirt body. Speak to your body and speak to former injuries, or speak to cancer cells and command them to leave or to be restored. And so, like, I have had knee injuries in both of my knees. I tore the ACL in my left knee, jumping off a cliff on a pair of skis. Not a smart idea, but I did it. And I spoke to that knee and got everybody I could lay hands on it, scheduled for surgery. They're going to put an allograft in, redo it, you know, a cadaver's thing, completely supernatural miracle healing. I still ski moguls now. I'm in my late 50s and have had no trouble with that knee since. Then 4 years ago, I bent down to pick something up and literally tore the meniscus in my right knee. And I was like, same thing. I'm like, I am not giving up. Now, that one was not as immediate as the ACL, but 4 years later, 100% healed. Amen. Just speaking to that knee and declaring, and I had surgery on zero of those knees. Awesome. And I'm still skiing moguls. I'm still skiing powder. A couple of years ago, I hit 72 and a half miles an hour on my skis. That's what my little app said. Wow. So I can rip down a ski hill, and you wouldn't be able to do that if you were still dealing with lingering stuff. I hang in for 100% recovery because that's what Jesus paid for. He didn't die kind of half on the cross and like, yeah, it's finishing, or maybe you'll get healing, or I only took 30 lashes at the whipping post. I didn't get 39 since, you know, there's a 39 categories of disease. He got a lash for every one of them. Wow. He took them all for all of our benefit. He healed all our diseases. He forgave all our iniquities. And we just need to not give up and stay in there for the all. And once you understand how to pray, and that model prayer is chapter 13 in the book, so that you can begin to do that. In fact, if you go to the website, healingdeliverancemiracles.com, all the videos that are part of the book, all the shareable quotes that are part of the book, that healingdeliverancemiracles.com, you can find chapter 13. It's a 20-minute video. I actually did that for the Christian Fellowship community in the Fortune 100 company that I work for. And it's one of their most viewed podcasts. It's a 20-minute teaching how to pray with results so that you can get the results that Jesus paid for. Because it's not about us. It's about him. He already did it. We just need to agree with it.
That's right. Love it. Guys, I've got healingdeliverancemiracles.com on the screen right now. And also, I want to encourage you guys to get this book. I'm putting a link in the podcast description for you to purchase it as well. He also has QR codes in there. Dr. Mark has QR codes in there that you could scan with your phone, watch these powerful videos. So it's a very great concept in that. So it's interactive, but also reach out to Dr. Mark. He's a lovable, likable, down-to-earth guy. Sure, he's in the business world, but God is using him in power and authority in the name of Jesus. And also, Chris Reed wrote the foreword of Morningstar Ministries. And my friend, Dr. Randy Bixby, is mentioned in the book. So listen to that podcast episode as well. Dr. Mark, thank you so much for being my special guest on Adventures in the Spirit. I want to encourage everybody to subscribe and share this podcast episode and send it to your friends and family so that they could be blessed in Jesus' mighty name.
Yeah, thank you, Jared.
Thank you so much for listening to Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky, a podcast that activates you to live the supernatural life. Subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and share it with your friends. Leave a 5-star rate and review, which helps us reach more people with the love and power of the Holy Spirit, and partner with us at fireborneministries.com. And may you live your best spirit-empowered life and have your own adventures in the Holy Spirit.